Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled, Seek First. What are Christians saying when they make comments such as, I quit, I give up? Often what they're saying is that their circumstances have become bigger in their own eyes than God himself. In Matthew 6, Jesus taught us to keep our focus of attention on God and his greatness and on his kingdom first and foremost. If we'll do this, we are assured of his taking care of us in our needs. Don't quit. Don't give up. Change your focus of attention to God instead of your circumstances and let God be God in your life. I hope that this message blesses you.
I'd like to begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, Father, it's just a pleasure. It's a pleasure to read your word, to study your word, and to fellowship with you around your word. Father, we're not just trying to get to know about you. Father, we want to know you. We want a fellowship with you. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for these times that we're able to fellowship with you around your word. We believe that these are the most important times. And we thank you, God. Thank you for your Holy Ghost who's going to teach us and reveal truth to us tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you now in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I pray that people's hearts are open to receive your word so they can be changed by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, it was interesting as I was in preparation for delivering this message this evening, something came up on the inside of me that I knew it wasn't me. I knew it wasn't thoughts that I was having about myself, but I knew it was specifically for either a person or some people that are dealing with some very difficult issues in their life. And this is what came up on the inside of me. And I just wrote this down. I give up. I quit. You know, and I could tell when I heard those words that they were being spoken, people would say they're at their wit's end. And, you know, maybe they have attempted to make a stand on God's word. Maybe they haven't. Maybe they've gone to the Lord in prayer about something. You know, whatever the case may be, it was clear to me from what I was hearing in my spirit that whoever this person or these people are, that they have come to the end of themselves. And, you know, that may not be a bad place to be, quite honestly. As long as you do the right thing when you're there, you can do one of two things. You can do nothing and allow the circumstance to defeat you. Or you can come to a place where you're in complete, total surrender to the Lord Jesus. And you know, I can hear the cries that a person would make in that situation. God, I am at the end of myself, and if you don't save me, I'll just come to be with you. You know, something like that. And as long as a person turns to the Lord in that situation, as long as they don't give up, you know, as long as you don't quit, see, that's the whole key right there. It's not that Christians don't have problems. They do. everybody deals with issues. Everybody has challenges. Everybody has testings and trials that they're dealing with. It's what you do in the midst of those things. It's how you respond when it looks like every door is slammed shut, when it looks like there's no one that has the solution to your problem. It's what you do at that point. It's what you do when you feel like you have done everything you know to do in the natural and in the spirit. Maybe you have made your stand of faith and it looks like it's coming to the end of the road. Yeah, I've been there. And I can tell you, it's one of those places where I've come to maybe two different times in my life where, you know, I have done what I've known to do. And it looked like if something doesn't turn now, that this whole thing is going to come to a screeching halt. It's right then that you find out what you really believe. Do you really believe this? Do you really believe that God has already paid the price for your deliverance? Do you believe that if you hold up His word to Him, that He will respond to you? See, that's what we're really talking about. Do you really believe it? And it's your actions at that moment that are going to determine if you truly do believe it. If you just fold up your tent and say, "That's it, I quit, I'm not doing anything else," then you have to ask yourself, do I really believe what I have confessed? See, for me, when I came to that point, I came to it knowing full well, if I don't get this, I'm coming to see you very quickly and forever. And not being afraid of that. See, some people are afraid of death. Don't be afraid of death. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if you leave this planet, and you know Jesus, you've made Him the Lord of your life, you're going to spend eternity with Him. It's a win-win situation. If you're here and you have the victory, you walk in the victory over whatever the circumstance is, praise God. If you're taken out and you go to be with Jesus, praise God, you get to be with Him forever. So you're not going to lose. So there's nothing to be afraid of. I think that's the one point that I want to make. There's nothing to be afraid of. And I think some people, they just live in fear. You don't have to be afraid. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. You don't have to be afraid of anything. Glory to God. So as He was showing me this, is showing me this person, you know, making their declaration that, you know, I give up. I quit. I'm done with this. That He showed me that they're at probably the most important point of their whole life, because it's right there. The choice that you make at that moment, whether or not you're going to cling to God in His word no matter what, or you're going to just give up. And the most interesting thing that came to me as He was showing me this was the prayer that Jesus prayed as the example prayer to us, which we have come to call the Lord's Prayer. It really, you know, a lot of people use, you know, the exact prayer and they pray the Lord's Prayer, which is fine. And nothing at all wrong with it. But he said, if you really look at the words, and it's in Matthew chapter 6, 9th verse, if you have your Bible, you can turn there with me. he said in the ninth verse there of Matthew 6, after this manner, therefore, pray. So it wasn't necessarily that he was giving us like the, you know, the secret prayer. You know, that if you say this prayer, this will answer all of everything for you. It wasn't necessarily that. It was the manner of the prayer. It was, you know, what was being said and who was it being said to and how was it being, what were those words? What was the intent, in other words, of this prayer? And so as I was following the Lord through this morning, I realized that as you look at this Lord's Prayer, that the direction, the focus, in other words, of this prayer is not necessarily on the individual. As Jesus delivered this, as he gave this as the example of how we're to pray, focus of attention, first of all, wasn't even on the individual doing the praying. See, now that right there is a revelation to some people, because the focus of their attention is solely on themselves. But in the example prayer that Jesus prayed, the focus of attention was on God, on Him. See, if we approach God not based on our problems, not approaching Him with our problems on our mind, but first of all, let's approach Him as if He's God. There's a revelation. As if He is the Supreme One. As if He's the all in all. And we can say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. See, those words are words of worship. See, we're not running into the presence of God saying, okay, God, you got to help me. You know, no, Jesus said, when you approach the Father, we need to have time of acknowledging. And it's not, truly, it's more for our well-being than it is for God. It's establishing something in our hearts as we worship Him. It's establishing the love and the understanding of who He is. And there's a whole lot that's taking place as you just raise up your hands and say, Father, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. I worship you, Father. Father, I glorify you. You are worthy to be praised. Father, you are so worthy. And you know, as I was doing it just then, you know what happens? You know, all of a sudden, God becomes bigger than your little problem. You say, well, Mark, my problem's not little at all. See, there's the problem. Your focus of attention is on your problem and not on Him. You are not making Him in your own mind bigger than that problem. To you, your problem is like this, monstrous, and God's kind of like this in your mind. And it's got to be the other way around. You need to see Him for how He truly is. You need to see Him high and lifted up. You need to see Him as the one that the great provider. See Him as all love, because that's who He truly is. And make in your mind the picture of Him greater than the picture of your problem. Focus on Him. Focus on God as our Father. Focus on Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. get your eyes off of whatever it is that the enemy is trying to get you to focus on. And he can do just a masterful job of getting your attention on your problem and off of God. He can do it. And Jesus knew that. Jesus knew how crafty the enemy can be. And he said, when you pray, don't approach God with you on your mind. Approach him and acknowledge who he is. Acknowledge how wonderful he is. How awesome God is. And you know, he just loves to hear you say that. He does. He loves when you take the time to just appreciate him. Appreciate how wonderful he is to us. He loves that. And you're not trying to manipulate him into doing something for you. See, that's a bad motive, manipulation. You're not trying to do that. You're simply trying to get the reality inside of you, of him, of who he is as your Father, the greatness of God, and stop seeing him as, you know, someone inferior to the devil. Oh my goodness. The devil cannot even hold a match. He can't hold a candle to our Father. He's not even in the same league. He's not. He's so far removed from the greatness of our God. And yet he has so many believers, so many Christians convinced that he's on the same level. He's not even close. He isn't even close. He's full of himself. He's a liar. He steals, kills, and destroys. That's all he knows to do. And if you let him, he will destroy you. But let's not let him. Let's focus on the Great One, our Father, and Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Ghost, who's come to live inside of us as our helper, to help us, the Paraclete, who's going to reveal truth to us. Hallelujah. See, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now let's look at the next phrase. And I know that in messages previously, I've gone through the Lord's Prayer. But I'm telling you what, it's so important that we refresh ourselves on these things. Go back, look at it again. You're never going to exhaust the revelation, the feeding, the food, the nourishment that comes from the Word of God. You're never going to exhaust that. You can go back and eat it again and meditate on it again and extract all of the vital benefits from it again. Just do it again. Our Father, verse 9, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let's stop there. Thy kingdom come. See, again, we're still not focused. We haven't even begun to address anything about ourselves. See, that right there should tell us something. Because so often, you know, Christians, they run to God and all they got on their mind is themselves, and all they talk about with him is themselves and their problems. And Jesus said, after this manner, pray. Don't approach God based on your problems. Approach him based on who he is. And Jesus knew that in doing this, we're going to see the answers to our prayers. Because we're not approaching God based on our problems. We're approaching God based on who he is. And having that image of him bigger inside of us than our teeny tiny little squiggly little problem, whatever it is. I don't care what it is. It's just in the sight of God, in the comparison to God, whatever it is that we have blown so far out of proportion with the help of the enemy, whatever that little bitty thing is, in the light of our Heavenly Father and the greatness of who He is, that little thing is nothing. It is nothing. You might say, well, Mark, it's everything to me. I don't have any money. You know? Your Father is God. He's God. And it's, see, the paper stuff with pictures of presidents on it, that's not, the lack of that's not your problem. It really isn't. The real problem is not knowing your Heavenly Father. Not knowing Him and how great He is. See, and I'm sure this happens to a lot of Christians. They have so focused their attention on money or the lack of it that it has become the dominating thought in their mind. It's become bigger than God. And consequently, here again is God, their little picture of God, this little, you know, miniature statue. That's not God at all. Our Heavenly Father, He fills the universe. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He's everything. And He loves us so much that He would send His only Son to die for us. And yet, we allow the money or lack thereof to so dominate our thinking that we see our Father in such a small way. And that's not right. And Jesus warns us. Jesus instructs us. He tells us here in Matthew 6, the way to approach God, a way to approach your Father is, first of all, you approach Him with worship. Because He knew this would be the thing that we needed the most. You need to worship your Father. You need to raise your hands up. You don't have to be in the church building on Sunday morning to do this. You need to do this throughout your day. You don't even have to raise your hands up. You can just walk down the street. Father, You're so good to me. I worship You. See, You're establishing the understanding in your mind of His ever presence with you, that He's always with you. Always with you. And you're establishing His greatness, who He is. And as you do that, it will diminish the picture of the problems on the inside of you, and it will increase the picture of Him in your life. Glory to God. It makes believing a whole lot easier. See, when you're believing from a position of seeing God as just this little miniature God and your problem this huge thing, it's very difficult to see the answer, to see the picture in your mind's eye, your spirit eye, seeing that the fulfillment of whatever it is you're believing for. It's hard to see that, but as you focus on your Heavenly Father, that He is your Father, and how great He is, that He created the universe. He created everything that we see with words, that He spoke them out, that He released them. The Holy Ghost moved on those words and created everything that we see today. It wasn't a big bang. Forget that. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It was our Father that spoke everything into existence. And yes, there's more than enough. We're not going to run out. Don't worry. Don't worry about the global warming. All that's a lie. just focus on your Father. He will take care of you. He will provide all of your needs met if you'll just simply depend on Him. And as you, if you're at that place where you just say, I give up. I can't do this anymore. Turn your eyes to heaven and stop trying to answer your own problems and look to Him. See, again, that can be the turning point for you right there. When you have reached the bottom, when you have hit the bottom and maybe you bounced a few times. As long as once you hit there, you don't stop. And you turn your attention to God. And I would suggest that you just sit there and you worship Him. And you just thank Him. And you thank Him for your salvation. And you thank Him. And you get the Word in front of you. And Father, I thank You that You supply all of my need. According to Your riches and glory. You are so great, Father. You are so great. You meet all of my needs. You meet all of my needs. Even when your billfold, the both sides of the leather and your billfold's rubbing against each other and there's nothing in the middle, it don't matter. God is your source. He will provide. I don't know how He's going to do it. But it's not our place to have to figure that out. It's our place to simply believe. Let Him be God and stop trying to be God of your life. You do a poor job. He wants to be God in your life. He wants to be the one that solves your problems. If you'll let Him. And stop trying to solve them yourself. It's funny. I just had this picture as I was saying that. You know, so often, you know, a person will hit bottom and cry out to God, God, you know, and God in His great mercy will rescue that person. And next thing you know, they're off and running again and forget all about God and they think they got it all under control until they wind up in a ditch again. You know, it seems to be the pattern with some folks. You know, they end up in the ditch. They cry out to God. He pulls them out. And they run over to the other side and jump in the other ditch. Well, let's go back here in Matthew 6. So we have our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom. What, like I said before, we're talking to God about Him, about His kingdom, not my kingdom. You know, my focus of attention has got to get off of my stuff, my problems, my this, my that. You see, we started praying, our Father, which art in heaven. We didn't go directly to my problems. We are continuing to focus on Him. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. See, I'm still talking to Him about His stuff. I'm not talking to Him about my stuff. I'm focused on Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Thy kingdom, Father. It's about Your kingdom. That's what's important, is Your kingdom. That's what is the most important. It's not about me. Not about my little problems. What's important is Your kingdom. It's about the souls of the people going to heaven. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will, God, be done here. See, that's how we're supposed to pray. Instead of, Heavenly Father, I've got this laundry list here of things that I need You to work on for me. It's almost like He's our slave. I heard another preacher say that, and I thought, you know, that is very accurate. particularly in this country. We think God works for us. We got this backwards. You see, when I gave my life to Jesus, He became the Lord of my life. And I was supposed to get off the throne of my life and put Him on it. And it seems like, particularly for a lot of American Christians, that they stayed on the throne and they just want to have God around just to, you know, to help to get more of their individual kingdom up and rolling and you know, well endowed. That's not it at all. We are supposed to follow Him. We're supposed to be surrendered to Him. He's Lord. We're not. We were to have relinquished our position of lordship over our own lives, and we were to give that away to Him. He's Lord. Glory to God. And so it's His kingdom. God, it's Your kingdom. Your kingdom come. Father, Your kingdom. It's about You. It's about Your kingdom. It's about having more children in the family. It's about the family increasing, more children coming to be with You for eternity. That's what it's about. Now, see, Mark, that's what I do on Sunday morning. The rest of the week, I've got stuff I've got to take care of for me and for my family, so that we can have we have to have recreational things. You know, we need to have nicer stuff, bigger homes, and all these things in the natural, you know, that, and God's going to help me to get all those things so that I can have me and my family, we can just have a real nice life here. And that's what my focus of attention is on right there. My kingdom, basically, is what the person's saying. My kingdom. And Jesus is saying, it ain't your kingdom. Jesus is saying, it's my kingdom. It's God's kingdom. Father, Thy kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we call for Your will. We declare. See, we have authority in this earth as children, born again children of God. We have authority. And most of us aren't even using this authority for anything other than trying to get God to give us stuff. And God's asking us through Jesus, will You please pray this so that by using Your authority and declaring my will to be done in the earth, that my will be done in the earth. See, we have this mistaken idea that, well, God's God, so His will is just automatic. Well, if that were the case, then why would Jesus tell us to pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into His fields because they're white unto harvest? See, and we know that that's God's will. And if it is God's will, then how come we got to pray for it? Because His will has to be declared by people that are in authority here on this earth. That's us. We have the delegated authority in the name of Jesus. Our Father has given us this delegated authority, and because we can speak and release through words this authority, we can declare things to be this way. Thy kingdom come. We are declaring this. Thy will be done. Father, we are saying that Your will is being accomplished in this earth. That is our declaration of faith, and we say it. Glory to God, and it's done. It is established. Hallelujah. And see, we still haven't even touched our situations. We're still focused on God's stuff. And that's the way it's supposed to be. See, when we get our eyes off of ourselves, what you're going to notice is that your eyes being on Him and your eyes off of yourself will cause you to minimize the problems that you deal with. I've seen that for myself. You know, there's physical things that have tried to rise up in my body in the last few years. And if I sat and just thought about those things, I'm telling you, it would just, I'm sure it would just destroy me. And instead of doing that, if I will get my attention on Him and off of whatever it is the enemy's trying to use to kill me, and just focus on my Heavenly Father, focus on how great He is, those things, whatever they are, the enemy's trying to use, those, you know, my wife and I, we call it the wheel of disfortune. You know, it's like the devil just spins this wheel, and he starts causing these little things in our bodies to start trying to grab our attention. And it's like, where does the wheel stop? Oh, here's a symptom. Oh, will you accept this symptom as this? I'm telling you, you think I'm making fun, but I truly believe this is exactly how the enemy works. You know, he gives you a little twinge in your chest. Oh, and then the next thought that comes in your head, what is that? Is that a this? What is that, Mark? And if you sit, oh my goodness, and you start thinking about what in the world could that be? Oh, he's got you. Or else you get on the computer, the WebMD, and you start, here's my symptoms. You put all your symptoms in. Oh, it could be this horrible disease or that horrible disease. I'm telling you what, people fall into this trap, and instead of focusing on the greatness of God, they are sitting there like with this, you know, like the big, I don't want to say it's not a microscope, but you know, like the big spy glass. They got their big spy glass, like the detectives always had in the, you know, they sit there looking at their little bitty problem, and they have just magnified this thing to it's so big that it's got their whole attention now. And God's back to this little miniature figure in their minds. We got it all twisted around. It isn't supposed to be that way. Thy kingdom come. God, you're my Father. You are in heaven. Hallowed be your name. I hallow your name. I'm not talking about my problems, God. I worship you. I exalt you. I glorify you, Father. I praise you, God. I glorify you. You're worthy to be praised. If you do that, you know what's hard to do? It's hard to speak out of your mouth and focus your attention on the greatness of God and sit and worry about your problems at the same time. You can't do it. Your mind will follow the words that are coming out of your mouth. Now, it may try to, if you take a breath, it might try to travel down that path again to your problem. But you just jerk that mind right back. And Father, I exalt you. You're so wonderful. And talk to him like he's real, because he is. And he lives right here on the inside of you in the person of the Holy Ghost. He's here. He's not out there somewhere in the peripherals. He's right here. He has come to make his abode in us. He's here living within us. And he's our Father. And he loves us. The one who created the universe is head over heels in love with us, in love with you. He's come to live on the inside of you. He's done everything he can to be with you, to be in you, to be a part of your life. He wants you to include him in your life, to focus on him. Get your eyes off yourself and get it on him and on his kingdom and on those around you who need to know him and to become a part of his kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, Jesus is not telling us to beg for bread. We have scripture that say that we won't beg for bread. He's telling us here to make a bold declaration of faith that God is our provider and he is providing us our daily bread. He is. Our needs are met. All we have to do is believe it. Give us this day our daily bread. And that's the first point. That's the first time in this prayer that anything about us is mentioned. Up until this point, it's been about God and his will being done in earth as it is in heaven. So now we declare, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So when we make mistakes in our life, all we have to do is repent, and we're forgiven. He forgives us. Glory to God. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Don't lead me into temptation. What could this mean? And I've heard another minister, maybe two ministers sharing on this point. And I tend to think that what they preach is accurate. This idea of God not, you asking God not to lead you into temptation. Think of it like this. If we are asking God about a direction for our life that may not be the direction that he wants us to go in, and we know that he can see the beginning from the end, maybe he sees something down the line that would be bad for us. God, even though it may be something in my natural person that wants to go that way, if it takes me away from you and you can see that down the line, I don't want to go that way. I don't want to walk in a direction that's going to cause me and my relationship with you to be strained. So direct me away from that, God. Lead me not into temptation. Even if I may want to go that way, if you see that it's not a way that I should be going and it's going to strain my relationship with you down the line, then God, don't let me go that way. Direct me away from that. I'm giving you the authority in my life to direct me away from the things that are going to separate me from you. How's that? Does that help you understand that? Because I don't want to go in a direction that's going to lead me away from my Father. And maybe, you know, there are times when we're faced with decisions. You know, do we work for this company? Do we work for that company? God, they're both very good companies. And I do need to work. Because a person that doesn't work, they don't deserve to eat. How's that? Bible. And so God, I don't know which, but if company A, if working for this company is going to lead me in a direction that eventually might be put a strain on my relationship with you, then I don't want to go that way. Don't. So you see the beginning from the end. You see the things that I don't see. Don't lead me into, don't lead me into temptation. Don't let me go on a path that would separate me from you, God, because I don't want it. I don't want that. Amen. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. God, deliver me from evil. I thank you that I am delivered, Father, in Jesus. He delivered me, and I believe that whatever evil has arisen in my life, that you're delivering me out of it, Father, because I have the victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. And then look what happens here towards the end. For thine is the kingdom. See, we're going back to his kingdom now. As we close this prayer, we're focusing once again on his kingdom. For thine is the kingdom. Thine, it's your kingdom, God. Hallelujah. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Hallelujah. That's good stuff right there. See, Jesus knew that we would have the tendency of being so focused on ourselves that we would pray prayers that would be self-indulgent. So he said, he taught us, he gave us an example to pray after this manner, a prayer that would be focused more on God, more on his greatness, worshiping him instead of running to him begging for stuff, running to him and hoping and praying that he'll help us. See, we do that. If we do that, it's because we don't know who our Father is, and we don't know how much he loves us. We don't know what he's given to us, what he's established in Jesus for us. We don't know any of that. David, from this fiery furnace that we found ourselves in, why? Because we decided to go in a direction that maybe we shouldn't have. God, save me. So let me go down here a little bit further. So that concludes the prayer, but continuing in the sixth chapter, I want to bring these things out to your attention. Look at the 21st verse. We should start in the 19th and we'll work up to the 21st. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. See, now, on the heels of him teaching us to pray with a focus of attention on our Father and not ourselves, he follows that up by talking here about setting up treasure in heaven, not on this earth. Not creating a little kingdom unto ourselves here on earth. See, he's still teaching us with the same ideas that he taught when he taught about how to pray. See, the mentality, the thought process is still continuing here in this sixth chapter. He taught us in the prayer, focus on the Father, focus on the kingdom, focus on the greatness of the kingdom. And now he's coming down here and he's saying, don't focus on your treasures on this earth. Don't sit there and try to accumulate all those treasures. Lay not up for yourselves, verse 19, treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. And I don't believe that what he's saying here is that it's wrong to have like a savings account, that it's wrong to put something away for the rainy day. I don't believe that. What I do believe is, he's saying, if you are looking at that money, thinking, this is my salvation from whatever problems I might be faced with, you got a problem now. Because now you have just put money on the same level as God. Money has become your God. You're looking to it to solve your problem instead of looking to your Heavenly Father. And see, that's in, particularly in the United States, people have looked at money thinking, you know, this will take care of all my problems. God, I'll throw you a tip. Just don't get in my business because I've got things worked out for myself here. See, they have set themselves up for failure when you do that because you cannot make money your God. You can't do it. It's a terrible God. It will destroy you. And so he's saying here, lay not up, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. There your heart will be also. We are to look to his kingdom, invest in his kingdom, see souls won to the kingdom, have the focus of our lives be about the kingdom, about increasing the kingdom, because that's increasing with the lives of individuals. Investing in the kingdom, not trying to make our own little kingdom on this earth. And I'm telling, I see it all the time. I see it all the time where people, their whole focus of attention is on themselves and their kingdom, and they're going to realize when they come to the end of their life that they climbed the ladder to success, but it was on the wrong building. They have invested in something that is going to simply burn up. You're not going to take any of this stuff with you. When you die and leave this world, it stays here. You want to collect cars? Those cars stay here. You want to collect money? The money stays here. It doesn't go with you. Let's go on here. We're coming to a conclusion. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now let's jump down here to the 25th verse. This was the verse at the beginning where we were talking about, I give up, I quit, I'm done. Think about, in the light of those statements, look at what he taught us here in the 25th verse. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. When you sit there and you say, I quit, I give up, you have your focus of attention squarely on yourself. And Jesus is telling you, don't take thought for your life. When you cry out, I quit, God, you're doing it in frustration because you're so focused on you and your problems that you can't see the solution, and he's right here in front of you. He's right here in you. And Jesus is saying, don't do that. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. He goes on to talk about what you shall eat, what you shall wear. The whole gambit, everything that is involved with existing in this world in a natural body, everything. Don't take thought of any of it. You can't. You've got to focus on God, our Father, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. Here we go. Here's the solution. Seek ye first the kingdom. Didn't he tell us that in the Lord's Prayer? Didn't he say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Seek you first the kingdom. What is the focus of our attention as a Christian, as a believer? It's not on ourselves. It's on Him, on the kingdom. That's what He's bought and paid for with His life, for us to belong to Him. So the focus of our life isn't on ourselves anymore, it's Him. Seek first the kingdom, not second. It doesn't come after you. It doesn't come after your problems. It doesn't come after this thing or that thing. Seek first the kingdom. The kingdom comes first. Before you, the kingdom comes first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And if you will do that, all of these things, all of them shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Glory to God. I hope that blessed you tonight. I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, Father, that was a strong word. But I know that it's full of truth because it's simply your word. I pray, Father, that any person that hears this, that they will take heed to your word, apply it to their life, and see the fruit of it. Thank you, God. For the person that's crying out, I give up. Father, I pray that the next words out of their mouth is, God, help me. And that they turn to you and they just simply refuse to quit. Thank you for it in Jesus' name, Father. Amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.